you'll find descriptions of real events and actual confessions of demonic encounters in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare in America. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Robert Bennett. Afraid is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare in America. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You think about the term God's law. What comes to mind? But for Lutherans, it's a rich term. It's a kind of term that brings forth all sort really a complex of ideas. Not only God's will, the things that He prohibits, the things that He commands, but also in the Christian's life, it is I always say Jesus gives us back the law fulfilled completely in Him, and then hands it to us as a gift that guides us through life, that instructs us through life as well. So there's a lot to say there. If you're someone who believes, in contrast, in decision theology, usually called Arminianism, when you hear that term God's law, what do you think? How is it different from what a Lutheran would think? We're going to be answering that question on this Wednesday afternoon, January the 27th. Dr. Scott Murray is our guest. He's pastor of Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. He's fourth vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He has a PhD in theology from New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, and he's author of the book Law, Life, and the Living God. Dr. Murray, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good afternoon, Todd.
When you were a younger man there on the campus getting your doctorate of New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, how would you summarize what was being taught there about God's law?
Well, for starters, they denied the distinction between law and gospel, and they thought of it as a horrifying imposition of a sort of Gnostic type, so that, they simply thought of the gospel really as another way of talking about the law. They would look at the Bible as kind of a single status. I mean, every word sort of has the same status. Whereas Lutherans, of course, would think of the Bible as containing, law and gospel, and even statements of historical significance that are neither sort of law or gospel. They had difficulty getting their heads around those kinds of distinctions in Scripture. For starters, I think secondly, you would see a kind of optimism, or maybe I would say a lack of humility about the power of the law in the person's life to bring us to our knees. They would not think of the law necessarily as always accusing, but rather as something that is entirely tameable. Unfortunately for them, too, they would always think of it as a kind of outward thing, so that, as long as you kept the law in an external sort of way, that was just fine. It didn't necessarily occur to them that it brought accusation against our perverted attitude. And of course, they would also struggle with the idea of original depravity, so that, those kinds of interior accusations caused by the law, weren't really part of their vocabulary.
There's a lot to discuss there, and I hope we can get to all of it. But we're using this term Arminianism, and you really have given a good definition right there in terms of its view with respect to the law. But how would you define that in a simple way for our listeners, Arminianism?
Well, it's basically anti-Calvinism. In other words, it's an attempt to undo Calvinism to some degree. And if you want to look at it under the five points— of TULIP, total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and perseverance of the saints, that's Calvinism, then what you get in Arminianism is some form of predestination in view of faith. In other words, that God foresees who will believe, and that's what predestination is only. That there's an unlimited atonement. Now, of course, Lutherans are very excited about that viewpoint. We're perfectly happy to say that God sent his son to die for the whole world. Then you get the really problematic part of Arminius's doctrine, which is man cooperates in his conversion by way of free will. Then you have the resistibility of grace. In other words, you can reject God's grace, and Scripture specifically teaches that, of course. And then the possibility of defection from the faith. In other words, once saved, always saved, is rejected by Arminianism, you know, by simply saying that, of course, if conversion comes by way of free will, then also by free will we could defect from the faith. So those are the five main points of Arminianism.
And the tricky part here as Lutherans is that we're hardly in agreement with the Arminians and barely in agreement with the Calvinists on these things. So
right.
If we stick to the subject of the law, let's go through the points as you hit them kind of one for one. This notion that you encountered there among kind of the Arminian theology that God's word is homogeneous, that it is just
right.
That there is no distinction between law and gospel. To say law is to say gospel. To preach the law is to preach the gospel, and vice versa. What does that end up with in the life of the Christian? What does a Christian then hear under that kind of preaching?
Well, I think it's pretty simple. You either become so puffed up about your own capacity to be obedient to God and to show your commitment to God that you lose track of your own sinfulness and weakness, or you totally despair. I had a young woman join a Bible class I was doing on the formula of Concord, of all things, just sort of out of the blue. She was brought by a friend. She had Southern Baptist roots, and we were talking about justification as a forensic gift in this class. And about two-thirds of the way through the class, she puts up her hand, and I'm going, oh, boy, what's this going to be? Because I knew a little bit about her background. And she said, so what you're saying is that I don't have to go to hell because Christ has completely paid for all my sins, and he's acquitted me in God's sight, and I'm not guilty. And I went, you hit the nail on the head. And she was flabbergasted by this, which, you know, is something we take for granted. And she stayed afterwards, and she said, now I need you to tell me this one more time. So I explained it to her again, and at the end she laughed. And I said to her, you know, maybe this isn't something that's funny. She said, no, you don't understand. I'm laughing out of pure relief. She said she had been taken to a Baptist church by her grandmother for many years. And when she was about 19, she quit going because she had become quite certain that she was damned and going to hell and that she might as well enjoy it on the way there. And she simply gave up the whole Christian practice. So, you know, this is the result of despair in people's lives, that they can't imagine themselves as among those for whom Christ died. And this is terribly tragic.
The other point you mentioned there was a kind of a view of man. You said there's this very optimistic view of man, even man in his unregenerate state with respect to God's law. How would you explain that?
Well, I couldn't. In other words, this flies totally in the face of what Scripture says about us. You know, we wouldn't know how deeply depraved and lost we were, except that Scripture actually reveals this to us. The interesting thing about the Baptists, by the way, Southern Baptists, is they're sort of confused about the whole thing. I recall actually in a class finally just saying, you have to bear with me. I'm a Lutheran. I've been in these classes for, you know, some years. It was probably my second year. And I just said, I'm trying to figure out if you guys are Calvinists or Arminians. And the professor that was leading the seminar smiled and simply said, well, yes. In other words, they're trying to split the difference somehow or other in the Southern Baptist tradition of sort of keeping Calvinism and Arminianism in balance. And when I just sort of looked quizzical about this, he simply admitted that they have this kind of tension in their theology and they struggle with it. But in any case, they do seem to have this view that's I think more Pelagian even than Arminian. Humans have this high capacity for seeking God, finding God. And, of course, you find this in many of their expressions that attempt to deliver the gospel, you know, like, I found Jesus, and, you know, this idea that the shepherd is lost and the sheep finds him, I find quite risible. That's certainly not the biblical expression by any means. But again, if you have this presupposition about the great capacities of man, you know, look, we can put a man on the moon. Of course we can find Jesus. You know, what would be harder, finding Jesus or putting a man on the moon? And unfortunately for many people, they think of it as harder to put a man on the moon. So it really is a very much a totally American take on Christianity that just presumes huge spiritual capacities on the part of fallen humans.
We're talking about Arminianism, Lutheranism, and God's law. Dr. Scott Murray is our guest on this Wednesday afternoon, January the 27th. He's pastor of Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, fourth vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, has a PhD in theology from New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, and he's author of the book Law, Life, and the Living God. Stay tuned.
O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will declare your praise.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Defend us from all evil and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Do you dread going to work out?
Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
The faith once for all delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Arminianism, Lutheranism, and God's law. Dr. Scott Murray is our guest. I've been thinking a lot about the law lately. I spent some time working on an essay for the latest Issues Etc. online journal The essay turned out to be just one question that I thought was really very important to answer, especially as this misconception about God's law, misconceptions about God's law, let's call them myths about God's law, continue to be pervasive even in Lutheran circles. The question is the law bad? Myths about God's law. It's one of the things you'll find there in the Issues Etc. Journal, along with our Wittenberg Trail feature, where Tim Wood talks about going from what was essentially a patchwork quilt that he had put together of various Christian confessions to the seamless and sound confession of faith in the Lutheran confessions. It's all in the Issues Etc. Journal, and you can subscribe for free. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. There's a red button there. Click on that, enter your email address, and we will send you the latest edition of the Issues Etc. Journal. Dr. Murray, the other thing, you used a term earlier when it came to the function of the law in the Christian's life, and you said it's viewed as what did you say, utterly tameable? What did you mean by that? Mm-hmm.
Well, this is what our friends with a kind of Arminian bent think, that the law would no longer be accusatory or deadly in the Christian's life. You know, we certainly think that the law continues to teach, but it also accuses. And I liked what you said at the beginning of our half hour. You talked about the law as being a complex of ideas. So it's not just simply one thing or another or another. It's all of those things together. Chemnitz, our great theologian, heads his discussion of what we would call the third use of the law as the triplex usus, the triple use legis of the law. And I love that because I think that phrasing, the triple use of the law, gives us a really good clue about how the law actually functions, that in every word of the law, it can certainly kill, it can direct, it can teach, it can threaten, it can destroy, I mean, all those things. And I think that sometimes as we preach, this is an error, I think, of preachers, we think we've got the law in our hands, and we're using it one way or another. And I would just simply say we don't have any clue oftentimes how God, and this is his word, it's not tameable, it is a powerful word, and it's not something we can reduce. So when we preach it, we may not entirely understand how God's making use of it in the lives of our hearers, and in that way, it is a perfectly timely preaching. Because it affects people exactly where they are, even though that may not be intended by us particularly as the preacher.
And it, also to recognize really the power of the Holy Spirit here to do all three in the preaching of the law, especially with the Christian who hears the law always in all three functions,
right.
Or the Holy Spirit causes it to be heard in this way, not to just do one or the other, which the Spirit is certainly capable of doing, but to do all three and do them according to God's will.
Sure, absolutely right.
So let's just summarize what we've said so far. We have the Arminian view that has an utter failure to even make the distinction between law and gospel in Scripture, then has an optimistic view about natural man with respect to obedience and the ability to find Christ, as you said. Then in the Christian life, this is a manageable law. It's doable. Does it express itself even as someone saying, "I'm now keeping the law"?
Oh, certainly. Arminianism, of course, predates Wesley and Methodism and so on. But Arminianism has had a large influence on on the development of Wesley and Methodism and so on. And I do think there's a strong tendency in traditional Methodism, I don't know that that even exists today anymore, but in traditional Methodism for the person to, in fact, say, well, I haven't sinned in the last couple of years. And there's a strong tendency to want to do that because they're defining their relationship with God on the basis of the law rather than on the Christological basis of Christ, his work, you know, given to us for his own sake. So there's a strong streak, I think, of perfectionism in a Methodistic or sort of Wesleyan context. That runs completely against the realism of the Bible about human depravity, and the ongoing deadly character of the law on our depraved hearts.
I once heard a prominent evangelical teacher opine something. It was something like this, but I paraphrase. It's really wonderful to know that when, as a Christian, that when I sin, there is forgiveness, that Christ gives forgiveness. But it's even better to know when I don't need it. Is that what we're talking about here?
Sure. And how different Luther is in his assessment of things when he can talk about the blessedness of the prayer. He's talking in, about Psalm 32, the blessedness of the person who is a sinner. And he points out that only sinners may be blessed, because only sinners may be forgiven. So true blessedness partly consists in clarity about our own situation against the law, which is that it's deadly,
so then
and that only Christ can resolve it.
So then with about a minute here, in the daily life after the Christian becomes a Christian, how essentially does Lutheranism differ from Arminianism on God's law? About a minute here.
Yeah, I think it's just, again, that in Arminianism, there'd be this lack of humility about what humans would be capable of, that makes Christ sort of merely an enabler rather than a savior from beginning to end. So whereas with Lutheranism, we want to come back again and again and again and again to Christ with all of his gifts, with all that he's done for our salvation, and be quite sure over and again of his forgiveness as we fail. You know, I think Lutheranism certainly has the clarity about, you know, while you may in an outward way with your hands and perhaps even mouth have said and done the right thing, yet in your heart, there still lurks that rebellion against God's ways. And, you know, as a pastor, we can experience this perhaps on an occasion where we know we have to go to the hospital and you're kind of grinding your teeth about it, whatever, and you go and do what's right. And everyone perceives this to be right. But in fact, it wasn't done with the proper heart. And so you have to get on your knees, and God, of course, you know, blesses you by way oftentimes of a wonderful hospital call, and you know, you get to share the gospel, and you walk out of there and go, why was I grinding my teeth about this? Have mercy on me, O God, and forgive me for my hard-heartedness in this regard.
Dr. Scott Murray is pastor of Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, fourth vice president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, a Ph.D. in theology from New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, and author of the book Law, Life, and the Living God. You'll find out all about this book, and I recommend you read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and give Concordia Publishing House a call. They'd be happy to send you a copy of Law, Life, and the Living God, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Dr. Murray, thanks for being our guest.
So it was a pleasure, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on demon possession and spiritual warfare in America with Dr. Robert Bennett, and we'll find Christ in the call of Jeremiah with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program.
Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Is the law the opposite of the gospel? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, Is the Law Bad? Some Myths About God's Law. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. You can also read about Tim Wood's journey from many different Christian confessions to the sound and seamless theology of the Lutheran Confession, the free online Issues Etc. journal.